We welcome in Brandon Vogel from HailVarsity.com and Magazine Managing Editor, and at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, how we feeling this morning, man? I'm in a restaurant here at a Kansas City Hilton. I'm waiting on the baseball schedule. There's a lot of thunderstorm activity last night. We are 1-0-2, and I hear Junior in the background. He is asking, how the hell do you tie two games we did down in Kansas City?
Yeah, he was thrown by the anytime you get that third digit in the win-loss record, you got to stop and do some math. I kind of miss ties in college football, but that's a whole, other topic.
Really?
I hate the new overtime, personally. I hate this system of, oh, we're going to line you up at the two, and you guys are going to do two-point conversions till you find a winner. What a terrible way to determine a winner in college football.
Yeah.
I like the 20-yard line. I thought that was fun.
Yeah,
25?
They had it right, and then they decided, like, there was that one Texas A&M LSU game that took 4 hours because it went eight overtimes, and they're like, okay, let's find something new. You didn't need to fix what was not broken.
Yeah, I think that's where my thinking changed on that, is once we kind of had to start shortening the overtime period. I mean, the NFL's a mess too. Like, I'm coming around, you know. I was never a big fan of ties, but sometimes, you know, two teams just play each other to a stalemate, and that's the truest result. A truer result than, you know, who misses or who makes the two-point conversion last.
Yes. I don't know. Going with ties would be a little too European for American football for me, though.
I just wish there would have been overtime 40 years ago during a steamy night on January 2nd in 1984. Not that I'm not proud of the go for two. I think that was ballsy and admirable. I just wish they would have ran the option instead of trying to throw it. Is that still too tender of a take? Why aren't you running
no,
the option?
But I mean, like, you think about, like, what role that plays in kind of the legacy of Tom Osborne. Kind of, it's a key turning point in his overall story. And, I mean, man, just think about that. Miami and Nebraska are running two-point conversions into the night in 1983. A lot of things change.
Absolutely. Vogues, let's talk a little bit here about the yearbook. It is off to the printer. I am so happy for you and the Hail Varsity magazine team. Just an incredible group with Drake and Brady and Aaron, of course, Jacob, yourself. I love it every year. We love promoting it every year. Babbers have gotten a chance to do this for a lot of years. I mean, working on 10 years now with all of these yearbooks that are just exquisite, but this one's going to be special. And I love what was tweeted out yesterday, a big old Gabe on the cover looking ready to not make it come down to a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we went into that with a great story from Drake Keeler. You know, Gabe was pretty open with his description of what last season was like for him, and of course dealing with an injury the year before that, and talked pretty candidly about, you know, what he's noticed with this new coaching staff that arrived. So it was definitely a tone of determination, I think, is what we went into that photo shoot hoping to get. And I feel like we got some really good options there. I'm so excited for people to see that full feature. Obviously, you can only put one image on the cover, but there's a lot of good stuff on the interior coming with that feature as well. And then a new thing we're doing this year, keep your eyes peeled to Hail Varsity Social within the next, I would say, hour or so. We're going to unveil the cover of the special kids edition that is all going right in with in the past, for subscribers, it's kind of a thank you for the support and being with us. You know, whether you're just getting started or been with us for a couple of years, we've sent out a calendar. People really like the calendar. In fact, I'm worried that people are going to be like, where's my calendar? But this year we decided to do a special edition just for kids. So kind of a different approach. So it's some really cool stuff in there. So that'll be coming out here within the next hour or two, I think.
So this is like Hail Varsity's way of, well, the football team has been losing kids over the past decade, but Hail Varsity's coming to the rescue, wow, keeping the kids around watching Husker football.
Man.
I would not say that's why we did it, but if it helps, it helps. But no, I mean, there's we've got plenty of football in there. So I tell the story. Sorry, I'm getting way off track here, but I'm super excited to do this and see if people like it, see if it's something that's useful. But I remember Sports Illustrated for Kids. I read there was a demo in there from a kicker. I forget the kicker's name, but it was like, here's how to kick pro style. And I still remember today, like, three steps back, two steps to the side, 1-2-3 approach. Like, this is how you kick a football. And I was like, man, this is great. So we're hoping to catch a little bit of that magic with this. We, with Brian Vicini, he's showing people how to punt in the magazine. We got a real detailed breakdown for him. So I think it's something that'll be fun. And, you know, it's not just football in this. We've got plenty of other sports. And hopefully if people like it, it's something we can do again in the future.
Brandon Vogel joining us here, Hail Varsity Weekend Edition, streaming the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Check that out, the Hail Varsity Twitter feed on Hail Varsity Radio, at HVarsity Radio, KFOR Facebook and Twitter as well. Vogue's kickoff times have been revealed. I have not had a chance to talk to you much this week. So I find it hard that 10 a.m. is a reality, and we'll be fine. We'll roll with the punches. I know Colorado's probably disappointed for that showcase. Now, that being said, I mean, Fox is all in on Coach Prime the first 2 weeks. It could be ugly or it could be spectacular, maybe a little bit of both, not sure. But they're going to continue to get their window this year, at least through the first five games. And I don't know how well this year turns out for him just because of this drastic flip. Meanwhile, with Nebraska, how about if you're Coach Rhule, man? I mean, you get Fox primetime to literally kick off the college football and Big Ten season and show what you're about. And then, oh, yeah, here's Boulder, by the way, to get the brunch going for a loaded college football Saturday. I think half the world's going to tune into that Nebraska-Colorado game. Nostalgia prime, and oh yeah, Buffs and Nebraska. That'll get you going early. So good opportunity for Nebraska. The work, though, is ongoing to make sure it's not a TV debacle with your performance.
Yeah, I mean, if Nebraska were to find a way to go 2-0 over that stretch, we might have to pull back on the reins, because things could get out of control in a hurry if Nebraska beats Minnesota on a Thursday night to basically kick off the season, so everybody's watching, and then you've got another game everybody's going to be watching. It's be like, oh, hey, Nebraska's 2-0 under Matt Rhule, everything's fixed.
They're ranked third in the country.
Everything's great. So yeah, maybe we'll have to. That'd be a good problem to have if everybody has to exercise a little caution. But it's in terms of a showcase for getting a new era started. Can't ask for much more than those two, I think, specific games and setups. So Huskers will have a chance to show, you know, what you can do in an off season. And I think the no team's a finished product in week one or week two, of course, but we'll see how far they've come.
Really fast, just because we're living in fantasy world here for a second. Can you imagine Nebraska and Michigan both undefeated night game at Memorial Stadium? How ridiculous that would be after the past 10 seasons of Husker football. Like, if Nebraska rolls in there having won their first, what is that, five games of the season? And then Michigan's in town September 30th. I guess it'd be the first four games of the season. Ooh, Memorial Stadium would be rocking.
That's how it's supposed to go. Right, folks?
Yeah, it is true.
Right, Elijah? When you got brought into the Big Ten, that's how it was supposed to be going.
And I forget what Nebraska's record was the last time Michigan was in. And that, you know, we didn't know Michigan was headed to the college football playoff at that point. They were, what, 5-0, 6-0 2 years ago? And that game was pretty electric. So,
oh, it was awesome.
Yeah.
I think Michigan points back to that game and says, okay, we found a way to win there in that atmosphere. We've never really done that before. And Michigan has been really good under Jim Harbaugh, but they'd always kind of been the 10-2, 9-3. And they shifted a bit too, folks. They went from high profile, high visibility type recruits, and they got 4- and 5-star guys, but they kind of just settled into, all right, here's who fits us. We're gonna try and go recruit those guys, and away we go. I mean, because Hoak had recruited well there, and Jim inherited some good talent, but they've really kind of found their sweet spot, I think, with who they want to go after. Yes, they're getting 4- and 5-star quarterbacks. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is always going to go do that. I don't think he knows what their ranking is, honestly. Many on his staff do. But they've been built on the lines of scrimmage. They've been really good, and they put a lot of front seven people into the NFL.
Yeah, I think they found their quarterback, and they had two quarterbacks, different quarterbacks, piloted them to those back-to-back playoff appearances, which is impressive. Because like you said, you know, Michigan, and especially Michigan with Harbaugh there, they're going to have a problem landing, you know, talent that Michigan typically lands. But you get that quarterback right, and then, you know, some of their staff changes really worked. But for me, if we had to boil it down to a sentence, they've won the Joe Moore Award, which goes to the best offensive line in the country the past 2 years. And that's why Michigan's where Michigan is at. So if you want to think about Nebraska or any other team in the Big Ten or the country, like how do you flip that switch? That's a pretty great place to start. Just have the best offensive line in the country, no problem.
Right? what's interesting about Michigan's offensive line is I have their roster pulled up in front of me. I was curious about this. Their offensive line is built on players. I mean, almost half of their offensive line is either from the states of Michigan and Colorado, which is two interesting spots to have to go to. You have five offensive linemen on your roster from Michigan and four from Colorado, and then another three from Georgia on top of that. So it's interesting to see where Michigan is recruiting from for their offensive line. Obviously, Michigan is a huge place to get some guys, some local kids that flare in the room. But also, they're going around the country. Colorado isn't the first place you think of when you think of being a recruiting hotbed for the Big Ten, especially Michigan, or even Georgia. Georgia feels like SEC country, but there's three offensive linemen from Michigan's roster from Georgia.
Yeah, and they've done well. Like, I think their reputation over the past 2 years for offensive line has helped them, too. They did well in the transfer portal last year. Obviously, we'll see how some of those additions help this year, but they pulled two starters from Stanford, which is not a bad place for offensive line play traditionally either. So it's Michigan, they return a ton. The best returning production in the Big Ten, depending on how you want to measure it, but it's either them. I think Rutgers is up there. Maryland's pretty good. But Michigan this year is a rich get richer scenario, which comes with its own unique sort of pressure, too. So they're going to be a fascinating team.
Folks, I want to go to some Nebraska football recruiting. Monster Texas weekend for Nebraska and kids that have been in great communication with Coach Rhule and his staff. But the job that Coach Wager has done with his Texas connections, Coach McGuire as well. I mean, they're comfortable, and it's very clear they're comfortable down there in the Lone Star State. Just give me a thought here on the next couple, 3 weeks for you. It's camp season. I know Sunday camp is for Nebraska with some visitors. That's the identification window, up close and personal. And then the end of the month, you're going to have your priority recruiting weekend. But Nebraska really going pretty hard after guys they've identified. I want to go to that point of things, the identification piece and your confidence level in it with this staff.
Yeah, pretty high so far. I mean, obviously, they added a bunch of players in the last recruiting cycle, and we got to see. If, frankly, the group of early enrollees I thought was really impressive in the spring. So that group of guys, and you know, it was probably most notable on the defensive front, but I think some on the offensive line too. So encouraging early returns. It'll be, you know, it was enough for me to be like, okay, I think they do have it. You know, it's not just talk. Everybody out there is trying to do this. You find the right fit, you know, a little bit of what we were talking about with Michigan. But looked pretty good in the first chance we had to see it. And we'll get to hear more through the summer as the class of 23 comes in total, and see where things go from there. So I think June has the potential to be a pretty big month for this new staff on the recruiting trail. Historically, June has been a big month for just Nebraska, regardless of kind of who's running the show. You know, look at it from a perspective. It's kind of the sweet spot to get guys committed. And, you know, in the analysis that I've done in the past, like the guys that commit in June tend to stick around. Like, and I don't know, it's hard to explain why that is. But I think being able to pull the trigger and be like, yep, I'm set. Like, this is where I want to go. I want to play my senior season and of high school football and not have to worry about things. So it's got the potential to be a pretty big bump.
Brandon, when you look at this summer in particular, what do you think is going to be more important for the long-term health of the Husker football program and Matt Rhule's rebuild? Is it going to be the summer of recruiting or the summer of summer conditioning and, I guess, OTAs, if you want to call it that, the getting the team in the door, getting them through their workouts, getting them through the team activities? Is that more or less important than what is being done in the recruiting trail this summer?
Yeah, I think how you start a year one, even if it's the only year where you kind of get a pass as a new coach anywhere, you know, like we're talking about Colorado, there's Deion draws a ton of attention. What happens if year one doesn't go so well? Well, it's year one. You undertook probably the most massive roster rebuild in the history of college football. So, you know, people are going to be willing to take that context, but being able to get off to a strong start, a start that shows momentum at the end of the year. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you have to write off that year one as, well, it's year one, what can you expect? So I would put the emphasis, I think, on what you can do during the summer in terms of getting ready for this season ahead. The recruiting piece of it, like they'll pay attention to it, like coaches always have to pay attention to it. But that's just a little further down the road in terms of class of 2024. So I'll take what they're able to do with the team they have now as probably top priority.
Vogues, couple of questions and we'll get you out. So dilemma time, Major League Baseball game. It is Husker Day at the K today, 3:00. That's the good news. The other good news is we don't play today, so we can go to a Major League Baseball game. It's the Rockies they're playing. And the Royals, bless their heart, they are the biggest Oakland A fans in Major League Baseball because that is who is keeping Kansas City from being dead dog last in Major League Baseball. So do we go to the Royals game, even though it is Royals Day at the K, or do we find our way down to downtown Kansas City and fire up a vintage steakhouse that first opened its doors? There was a club speakeasy called the Majestic in 1924. And mind you, wow, that's a lot of money. Well, the scales are very even. Go spend $37 on a beer at a Major League Baseball game, or go spend a little bit of money on some bourbon and bone-in filet mignon, or Junior likes himself a New York strip. He didn't give me a quick answer last night. What would you like to do? And I said, both is not an option. So what would you do, Vogue? What would you do, Elijah, if you had a choice between going and seeing the Rockies and Royals at a 3:00 game, Royals Day at the K, That's kind of the obvious answer. We're all sports fans. But the Majestic, and I posted a picture of it on Facebook. I mean, it's such a cool joint, and it's sentimental. Dad and I got that's where he took me when we went down to see the Zach Taylor in his first NFL game ever. It was preseason. Mm-hmm. So that's my connection. I vote Steakhouse, but if Junior wants to go to baseball, I'll do whatever Junior wants.
What's the weather looking like today in Kansas City?
Oh, guess what? It's probably about 90 that feels 1,000 degrees. It's just a little bit more humid down here, right? Am I nuts? Look, even coming back to the Big 12 days here where they'd have the Big 12 media days, guys, it's always just a little – and we're used to sticky. We are. We grew up in Nebraska. But this soon, I mean, it's just a little bit sultry.
Yeah.
I might come in here with the unpopular answer, with the weather in mind, with who the Royals are playing in mind, and I say this being a guy who somewhat considers himself a Rockies fan. I follow the Rockies, but, like, I don't like watching them because they make my heart sad. Like, I don't know. The only real redeeming quality to the Royals game is the fact that it's Husker Night at the K. Like, that's always a cool event. There's always some cool swag you can get to take home from that. But, like, Royals and the Rockies, that's not appointment viewing this season. A steak,
no, exactly.
Beautifully cooked, bonding time with, like, the son, with son's teammates. Like, you can get a little crew there. Like, I look at that and I go, they're going to have the Royals game on TV most likely. For the price, it's probably going to be similar. Like, you can't go to a Major League Baseball game with parking and food and beer and everything included for less than $80. Like, go to the steakhouse, spend $80 on food. You can eat, that's a pretty good meal for yourself for $80. Like, I'm leaning steakhouse.
Junior, if you take Junior, I mean, it's going to be a G. I'm kidding. If you take Junior, he's going to want every year clockwork. He wants those damn strawberries on a stick that are chocolate glazed.
Uh-huh. $10.
20 probably now. It's like, old man, get me a hot dog. So it's one of those foot-long deals. They do have the party deck that we could sneak our way into at Kauffman. But I do vote. I vote. Let's go have a couple of really good old fashions. And
well, you, not Junior.
No, I know, of course. Jeeves is driving tonight. And we get an incredible steak, probably from Nebraska.
I think it's a different scenario altogether if there's a higher level baseball team in town than the Rockies. That's what I'll say.
That's absolutely the tiebreaker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the last element to this dilemma is, I think his teammates and their folks and his coaches will probably want to go to the baseball game. So are we that family?
But I also understand the grind of, like, there's a serious grind to playing high school baseball once it's spring season has ended. Now you're into Legion baseball. Okay, here comes another full summer of baseball. It's not okay, or it's not wrong to get a day away from baseball every once in a while.
We may go make him throw a bullpen session based on how last night ended. Or just run some foul poles. God love him.
Earn that steak.
Yeah, earn that steak.
This is a serious conundrum because I like steak about as much as anything.
Yeah.
And I hate humidity about as much as anything. You might be used to it. I'm from the High Plains part of Western Nebraska. We do not have that humidity. So when I moved to Omaha for the first time, I was like, get me out of here. I didn't leave. I stayed.
Folks, you hate humidity and you hate the sun.
that's true.
And the beach.
And the beach. Love steak. And like going to baseball games. I think I'd probably go baseball game. It's a tough choice. I know the steak will be there later. Next time I'm in Kansas City, baseball, you know, who knows? Might see a no hitter. Somebody might hit for the cycle. I know it's unlikely, but you just always go to the ball yard, I think is where I'd land.
It's unlikely to see a no hitter or a cycle, but it's extra unlikely between the Rockies and the Royals. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Boats is like, I err on the side of baseball. I'm going to need a guide through the Black Hills in about 2 weeks because we'll be doing a show from I'm getting shot down on the can I stay in Deadwood, please, please, please. My wife's not going to be able to make the trip with me. So I think I'm going to end up staying in Rapid City. Spearfish and Deadwood are about 40 miles west, closer to the Montana. One of the two. Sorry. Don't have a map in front of me.
Wyoming. Right.
Border.
Yeah, Wyoming.
So I'll probably sneak out for some golf there, but that's your neck of the woods. I mean, Vogues, you said to go through your hometown. Can I get to the Black Hills through your hometown?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're going to probably – depends on when you want to start snaking up from Lincoln. You could stay on I-80 all the way to Ogallala and go that way. My recommendation actually is once you hit Grand Island, hop on Highway 2, take you straight to Hemingford. It's a beautiful drive through the Sand Hills. It's pretty empty. You're not going interstate speeds, but I think most of the highways, you could. I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying you will feel out there on your own on Highway 2. Take you straight to Hemingford. Stop in. Ask around about me if you want, if anybody still remembers me there. And then just head up to Chadron. And soon enough, you'll be in South Dakota.
Okay.
Well, and Brendan, do you know any good camping spots around Hemingford for Schmitty? I know he's a big camping guy.
I'm not a big camping guy, so actually I don't. But you know, you can always stop at Fort Robinson if you'd like.
I did that as a kid.
Yeah. Have you been to Deadwood before?
Yes. 20 years ago, when I was working for Dakota State. Dakota State would play the School of Mines, and then they'd also play Black Hills State. So spearfishing and rapid. And so home and away, you'd do a couple of basketball trips. You'd do a football trip for one or the other. So Black Hills State was there. And then the state basketball tournament was also in Rapid. So, yeah. But my father-in-law went with me to Deadwood, and we did dinner on the third floor at Costner's Hotel when he owned. So it's been a long time, but man, I think Deadwood's cool. I really love spearfish. Left a monster impression. It was cool.
Yeah, that part of South Dakota is pretty fun. A lot. It's been a while since I've been back there, but we used to go to Deadwood quite a bit. Wasn't anything to be like, should we go to Deadwood tonight and get four guys?
How far? Just like 22 hours?
2.5 hours.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Vogues, one more shout out for the yearbook. I know the deadline is expired for folks to get signed up and have it as part of the subscription.
Actually, we can still get people in.
Sunday night at midnight.
Until Monday. Yep.
Monday still, midnight.
So.
All right.
Yeah. We extended a little bit based on the kids' issues, so we can if you're interested in getting this, if you're interested in anything we've talked about with yearbook, there's still time, but it is dwindling.
HailVarsity.com/offer. Get the yearbook, get the subscription, the digital, the print, and it is going to be incredible. Vogue, thanks so much. This was fun to talk some balls, some steak, or baseball. That question, and then also the next road trip to South Dakota here in a couple of weeks. Have a good weekend.
You too. See you guys.
All right. Thanks so much.